All right, we'll proceed on to the next case, which is also named United States v. Sanders, but we have a little different crew. All right, Mr. Shapiro, we'll hear from you whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honors, Jonathan Shapiro on behalf of Mr. Sanders, and with the court's permission, I'd like to use this device which will help me hear the court and government counsel a lot better if I can just put it here.
What's it, a microphone?
It's a microphone.
Does it transmit just to you?
That's right.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the court again, my name is Jonathan Shapiro here on behalf of Mr. Sanders. This is a related case that you're hearing. It arises from the same case that you just heard. If I may, I would like to step back from the all the technical lawyering that has been done here in the briefs and frame this issue in its most basic and most important sense. Zach Sanders, 26 years old, was convicted of engaging in criminal conduct with children. He was sentenced to 18 years in prison. The issues today concern the forfeiture of his electronics, computer, iPhone, iPad, and more. There was, for my purposes, Your Honors, child pornography on those devices. I don't want to step on the arguments that are made in the related case concerning the conviction. I'm just going to assume for the sake of argument that the devices contain child pornography and refer to it by that shorthand.
There are nine of those devices?
Excuse me?
Nine devices?
There were nine devices. Your Honors, the government is entitled to forfeit contraband material. There's no dispute about that whatsoever. But there was a lifetime
I don't think that's quite the characterization in terms of forfeiture. In terms of forfeiture, they can forfeit the product of criminal conduct or the tools of criminal conduct. And so if these were created, whatever was created by the criminal conduct, all the data on these things were created by criminal conduct, they're forfeitable. And the tools were these nine devices that they carried out the crime. And so the statute has both prongs on it. And so the government forfeited all nine under both sections.
Yes, Judge. There is a distinct forfeiture statute. Obviously, that's the crux of this case. And there are two methods under that forfeiture statute.
That's what I was alluding to, those two methods.
That's exactly right. But the issue gets a little more complex. Because the devices contained non-criminal matter, separate, individual, non-criminal files. The government agrees with that. These were things which were not on those devices.
Have you gone to ask the government give the government a list of things you want and have the government just copy those for you?
That's exactly what we want.
No, I said, have you done that?
We have done that.
You give them a list?
I thought
you proposed going to some third party who is going to determine what is contraband and what is not.
The idea
is if there are some critical documents on there that you want. This is an access question. It seems to me that data is in the computer, and the computer has a lot of data all mixed up, but you want to have copies of some documents. And maybe they'll give you those. You say, I want a picture of my, it's the only picture I have of when I was 12 years old and I graduated from camp or something like that. And they could get that document. But I don't think they have to submit that to some third party and have it scrutinized and determine what parts of that, what data are pornography and which data are not or which contributed to it. I mean, the idea is there are a lot of actions on that computer that were totally innocent, but they led to the pornography. You have to open various gates to get there, and there may be various messages and emails that are totally innocent. The government doesn't have to give all those things over. And so the question I'm asking really is, it's an appealing argument to say, I have a document on there I'd like to have. I don't know if it's the only source of that document. It seemed to me if it's the only source, you should make it the only source and you should identify particular documents you want and ask them if they'll copy it. But it's in the computer. They don't have to disgorge the computer. And your own request was that they make copies.
Yes. We're almost on the same page, Judge Niemeyer, and I know that you're familiar with Gates, which is the language you use because of your opinion in the AOL case. Here's what happened. I wasn't on counsel below. My understanding is the defense counsel went to the government and made a suggestion. There's a lot of data on these different devices. It's got to be located. So it wasn't a simple matter of saying, there's a picture of me getting married. There's a picture of me graduating high school. And there may well be those kinds of...
That could all be worked out. The question is legally...
Yes.
These devices were basically tainted, as Supreme Court has called, with the criminal conduct. Either they're the product of criminal conduct or the tools. And they're infected with this, and the forfeiture is... the Honeycup case, you know, the Supreme Court said that this is the tainted conduct and it can be forfeited. So the question is, I don't know how you get around all that. And I was raising these questions to you. It seems to me it's somewhat novel maybe in this day and age where computers contain so many data on them that maybe there is a process, a friendly process by which something... My graduation picture when I was 12 years old is dear to me and I want it. I don't think you can go say I want everything on my computer that's not linked. And I don't think you can claim that's your property. It's all interactive. The question is whether you should have access to make a copy. And the statute doesn't give you that. The Congress should address this, I would think. But as it stands, this is like forfeiting a stash house. You know, a stash house stores drugs, and it's been used illegally. You forfeit the whole house.
Judge, you put a number of things on the table, and they're all important. I want to try and get to each one of them. But just to get back to the most basic, yes, we agree that there's a lot of stuff on these devices which we're not entitled to. It's forfeitable by statute.
It's not a question.
It is forfeitable. What's been forfeited is forfeitable. You need to recognize that, I think, and tell us what you think or what you want us to do.
What we suggest,
if anything,
yes,
that we can do. I'm trying to figure out what we can do at all. These nine devices were used in this carrying out this stuff.
And there is an argument which is made in briefs, Judge King, that the definition of property, which I think is key here, has to be looked at carefully, and that the non-contraband items on the computer do not meet the definition of property and should not have been forfeitable. Just put that aside.
But the statute makes them forfeitable. What did Judge Ellis do wrong? You're appealing his ruling. He wrote an opinion on this forfeiture question, and he ruled against you. Now, what can we do for you?
Thank you. You're right. Judge Ellis wrote a lengthy opinion, as he does. We think he got it wrong in two respects. But I want to get to the nub of what Judge Niemeyer said is, what can we do? This is an issue of access.
It's clearly an issue of access. It's an issue of access to forfeitable property. And the question is, you want to have some data on there copied. You don't want the data removed. You're not entitled to have it removed. It's forfeitable. But you want data copied. And the question is, we don't have statutory authority to do that. And that's why I was suggesting to you, if you made it much more friendly to the government's position and said, we have 75 documents that are particularly dear to us. They're on there. We know that the data's there. They're not like pictures pulling them out of a book. You have to go in and do exercise the keys. And the keys and the gates and the instructions and the programs and all of that, that's all part of the forfeited device. So your request is to have access to make a copy from the data. And that requires the government to push keys, have print or copy or whatever you want. But you can't go in and take anything out of the computer. It's on disk drives or it's on memory. Some of it's permanent, some of it's temporary. And you can't just extract that and say, that's mine. You have to say, government, will you push some keys for me and make copies for me or give me access? Now, the statute doesn't seem to authorize that. And so the question is, I was asking you whether instead of suggesting some third party, the government doesn't want to lose control of its forfeited property.
Yes,
but if you said, all we want is a copy of my certificate, that's the only copy I have, and help them where it is and give them a list, they might. Who knows? Government's not. Look at them. They're not that bad. I don't know.
Well, I've just met my friend for the first time today. But I will say this, Judge, and I think this is key and gets exactly to your point. We tried that, and that's what we want.
I saw what you tried. You tried something much more complex. You tried a whole procedure to go to a third party and have them extricate all non. The truth of the matter is the line between what is pornography and what is not pornography,
and
what was used in it. You know, there's a lot of setup. There's a lot of emails that are not pornographic, but they're maybe emails with these boys. They're not going to have somebody third party go and say, oh, that email has no pornography. Turn it over. The question is just the opposite. If you want a privilege, it seems to me you have to state it in such a fashion that they cannot turn it down if they want to be anyway helpful to you for your issue. But getting back to Judge King's point, what did the district court do wrong?
District court denied our Rule 41G motion, which says that the government must return non-contraband property, which we raised. They must. If Congress has a problem with that, and if that's...
The problem is the preface to 41G knock you out. You have to go back to the statute.
Yes.
And so we're not under 41G because 41G accommodates the statute. So the question is, what does the statute allow?
You're right. And I have to make two points, and I only have 2 minutes to do it. We proposed a method to the government because we don't know where on these devices particular documents are. We can't say to the government, go to this device and look for this.
No, they can find it.
But they don't want to do that.
Of course they don't want to do it because you've made it impossible. You have required them or requested them to delegate, and you've given them criteria which infringes on their right to forfeit. And the question is, what you want is a privilege that doesn't seem to be statutorily authorized, which is to copy that which has been forfeited. You do not want the forfeited property. You don't want that. And you can't have those data. They're electronic. It's pulses on magnetically recorded electrical pulses. They can't be removed unless you want them to wash the computers too. You're not asking that.
No, sir.
You're asking for a copy.
We said.
And so if you will get a copy, the question is, this is a copy of the property. Now the question is, you don't have authority under statute to get that.
No,
But it may be a question that...
If I can just respond.
Yes, sure.
Thank you. We proposed doing what was done pre-trial, in which an expert hired by the defense sat in a facility provided by the FBI with computers provided by the FBI.
You're going back to the expert, the third party.
That
was lost.
That was...
Yeah, you're going to have to recognize you lost the criminal case. These nine items have been forfeited. And Judge Ellis explained it. What, if anything, can we do here about that if we are satisfied that Judge Ellis gave you a fair hearing on that?
Judge King?
You're going to have to negotiate from a position of weakness rather than strength.
May I respond briefly?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. First off, we think Judge Ellis got it wrong in how he interpreted the statute. We think that the word material containing visual images does not include files which don't include visual images. So that should not have been forfeited, for starters.
But those images don't sit there floating around and you can grab them. They have to be keyed out from electronic data.
And
so the question is, you want the government to key out certain documents that were not offensive and out of a machine that has been forfeited. They're not in there lying there like in a box or in a file cabinet. They have to be extricated with key instructions. They're in the form of electronic pulses at this point. They're data. They're not the actual images. And the images will be created from the data, right?
And we proposed to have our expert go through the mirror images, identify the documents, and then ask the government to copy them.
Okay. Okay. Why don't we hear from the government? Mr. Alito, Adias.
Thank you, Judge Niemeyer. It's closer. The defendant's devices are forfeitable on two grounds, either of which is sufficient this court to affirm. First, 2253A1 requires the forfeiture of any visual depiction or of child pornography or any book, magazine, videotape, etc., or other matter which contains the visual depiction. So right off the bat, the statute is making a distinction between the visual depiction itself, that is the child pornography, and the vessel or the medium, the other matter which contains the depiction. Now, the crux of the defendant's statutory argument with respect to A1 is that other matter should refer only to the child pornography, such that only that is forfeitable. But that makes no sense because the statute begins and opens by requiring the forfeiture of the visual depictions themselves. And then it goes one step further, almost one level up in generality, and requires the forfeiture of the matter which contains the depiction. So I think the statute is clear in that respect. I think when you go to the definition of visual depiction in 2256, that clarifies what I'm saying. The definition of visual depiction in 2256 includes data stored on a computer disk or data stored electronically. And when you put those with that definition together with 2253A1, the statute requires forfeiture of the visual depictions or any book, magazine, videotape, etc., or other matter which contains the data stored on a disk or the data stored electronically. What is the thing that is storing the data electronically? In this case, it's the devices.
Well, prong two also says any device that's used to commit the crime.
That's right.
That's the tool aspect.
That's right. A3 provides for the forfeiture of any property that was used to commit the crime or used in furtherance of the crime. And that's
I believe he agrees with you that these are forfeitable. I think he's trying to make some kind of argument that the data on the machines are not forfeitable when the data are not pornography.
Right. So the crux of the defendant's argument on A3 is that property should be read to mean separate property or other property, non-contraband property.
Let me ask you the question I asked him. If they came with a discrete list, specific identification of particular documents and pictures, and said, would you make us a copy on a thumb drive, what would the government's reaction be to that?
As a general matter, I think that happens as part of guilty pleas, for example. Defendants want certain things, and they'll contract around it to make it happen. Certainly possible. I can't say what the government would have done in this case. After going to trial and losing, the devices are forfeitable. They fall within the statute. And that's not what the defendants did here. So I can't tell you what they would have done. I'm not on the trial team, so I can't tell you what they will do.
Who's the they?
The trial. I'm just referring to the trial. I didn't try the case, so I can't tell
But you're the government.
Sure.
That's what the question is of the government. It's not you. It's of the government. What would the government do? Well, you're the only one we have here. You're the only one that can answer for the government.
The devices are forfeitable, and that includes everything.
Well, they're not just forfeitable. They've been forfeited.
Yes, they've been forfeited.
All right, then he has an appeal. And we have to decide whether Judge Ellis is right.
Right.
Was right.
And
if he's going to be affirmed, what are you going to do then? Nothing.
Nothing. If Judge Ellis is affirmed,
like?
Then the devices, and this court has put its stamp of approval on Judge Ellis's opinion, and the devices, they've been forfeited, and they are legally forfeitable. With respect to A3, the crux of the defendant's argument is that property should be read in A3 to refer to separate property or other property. But the statute doesn't say anything about types of property. That's just an atextual gloss, and it's really more of a Rule 41 argument. And
well, there are a lot of analogies in the law. I mean, his argument is the computer is made up of a lot of properties, so to speak, and that it has some properties that are forfeitable and some are not. But that's sort of inconsistent with the notion that it's a device on which these devices are recorded, and it's hard to get around the statute and Judge Ellis's finding any error in what Judge Ellis did. But I'm just trying to express some sympathy for the circumstance where there are three or four documents or 25 documents that are very special. They were on there before he put on the pornography. That's where he stored them, and he'd like them back, sort of like that was my family jewelry. And the answer is, I suppose, that he deliberately tainted all of that by using the devices for child pornography, infecting the devices with it, and extensively using them for these various images and the exchanges and the correspondence and all the other business going on the dark web. So my only question is, non-statutory.
Sure.
Maybe there's a little district judge left in me, but I would have probably had you around and say, how come you can't give them at least a dozen documents, have them list them, and have you do the picking? But I gather I've ended that. That's
So Judge Ellis, the last page or two of Judge Ellis's opinions, I mean, Judge Ellis is very clear, and he's correct in doing that, to separate equitable considerations from the statutory question. There's a statutory question, the devices fall within A1 and 3, and that's, as far as the statute goes, that's the end of the matter. Your questions go to Rule 41, and Judge Ellis also addressed
those. Well, Rule 41, if you read the first four or five words in it, I mean, it requires you to pass the gate, the statutory gate.
That's right, and what Your Honor was referring to before goes to, Your Honor said previously that these were basically the tools of the defendant's trade. That's exactly what the Ninth Circuit and Kaczynski said in affirming the denial of a Rule 41 motion, and the district court so held. He held, in effect, that the defendant had unclean hands. He chose to use these devices. He also chose to commingle these devices. These devices weren't some, you know, usually when we get to a Rule 41
argument.
And
the Supreme Court has explained the philosophy behind that. They basically have said that it's a criminal taint. The property has now been tainted and is forfeitable to the government at the defendant's knowledge and intent.
And in addition, the purpose of forfeiture, which is another one of the district court's bases, is to deter criminal conduct, and it's a form of punishment. And the district court concluded that the defendant wasn't entitled to equitable relief, and that the district court hoped that its ruling would achieve deterrence as well.
Anything else?
No, all right.
Mr. Shapiro?
Thank you, Judge. Just briefly, and I hope the government takes to heart what the court has said.
Well, I was just raising it, and these types of things, when I raise them, I'm not raising them as legal entitlement or as interpretations of the statute. I was raising them recognizing that we have human beings, even flawed human beings, and sometimes there's some kinds of little accommodations like that that can be made. But if it's being initiated from your side, it can't be initiated in the sense that I want a third-party proceeding and have my guy go through it and you don't know where it is and I want everything that's not pornography. You're not entitled to it. You're not entitled to anything. In other words, the question is, can I have some items that I do not have recorded elsewhere?
Well,
I suppose that a lot of it's been duplicated somewhere else, but in that context, you have hat in hand, and I submit the I presided over a lot of negotiations and settlements, and that's the way things get done as long as you don't stand on your high horse. They may then get off their high horse, and the two of you can shake hands, but that's not our role. Our role is to review Judge Ellis, as you know, and determine whether he committed error.
I agree with you completely. I appreciate the sentiment, and I would love to be able to work out something with the government. But we're here today, as you recognize, and I just want to make one...
So what did Judge Ellis do wrong in his opinion,
he did
denying
two things.
Your request?
He did two things wrong, which are described at length in our briefs. The briefs, I thought, which I also didn't write, were excellent. The government's brief was as well. But
he applied the law.
He was wrong in that.
He applied the law. He said this was not an equity case.
He did say that. And it's true that forfeiture is not an equity case. But as to your specific question on what he did wrong, going to the government's major argument here having to do with this was a piece of property which the statute says the government gets the whole thing. That's what Judge Ellis said. We think that was wrong.
It's a cell phone. It's an iPad. It's a computer. These things are devices, and we know what they are. You pull the plug on it and hand it over.
Judge, I know you're very familiar with it because of the OL case and probably many others too, but let me just say this. There's a definition of property in the code that the forfeiture statute incorporates by reference, and it's at 21 U.S.C. 853. It defines property to be used in the forfeiture statute, and what it says is it includes real property, but it also includes tangible and intangible property. Intangible property. The district court ruled that
that means the data are included too, right?
That's the data. That's exactly right.
Those are electrical pulses.
That's right.
And they're included in the computer. And so the all those electrical pulses and commands and programs were used to download, access, communicate, and obtain child pornography.
The only point I'm making, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, so he pulled all those data on, and they're on the same device as he's got some family pictures or whatever he has that he wants back or copies of. He doesn't want back because there's no way to get it back unless you're going to. There's no way to get it back. You can just transmit the data to a thumb drive or to another device.
Which is all we want. That's all we want.
Yeah.
The point I'm making, and then I'm done, is that Congress has, and the Fourth Circuit, has recognized that there's a difference between the hard drive and the data. The hard drive is what was forfeited. The data is separate intellectual property, and we think that should not. And to your question,
it's on the hard drive, and there's no way to separate it unless you give it a command to some third device, either to copy it or to print it.
But
on the hard drive, you look at the hard drive with a magnifying glass or anything else. You can go with a magnet. The data are there. It's a very complex device. And you're arguing that we have to go on that hard drive. It's partitioned in particular ways that the computer do it, and they store the data at various places, and you give it a command, and it retrieves it immediately. There's no data on there, even if it's intangible, that is separable from that device without commands by further data and programs and apps. And you're actually conceding that because you're not asking for those data. You're asking for a copy of those data. And that's appropriate because that's the only way you can get data. So you want a thumb drive with those data on it. I think that's what you used the word thumb drive, right?
We would like a copy, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think we understand it, but that doesn't make it any less complex and doesn't make your argument any less less than you've made it. It's just the problems that we're facing in this, and I think the question for us as a legal matter is to assess what Judge Ellis did and decide whether he committed error.
Yes, and as to that, and in the deference to the lack of time, I would just urge the court to read what we have said about that in our briefs, and I know you will.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
We'll come down, we'll adjourn court, sine die, and then come down and greet counsel.
This honorable court stands adjourned, sine die. God save the United States and this honorable court.